The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Give me a second, I'll get you fixed here, Trish. Good morning. Today is the, did I say that already? No, it's the 5th of October and 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring Compassion Community, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. And Christina, good morning there.
Good morning.
My Ukrainian warrior. She had a major medical procedure.
My first one.
Her first one ever, a week ago Tuesday. And she comes, you know, comes walking in Monday. Well, you had a crutch. And then today you're bouncing in. And she is going to become our producer for Free Fire Radio, the morning show. She's going to be our producer 5 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, well, she has been doing a good job. So congratulations and hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Hey, we are standing upright.
Yep.
So that's good. Anyway, no.
And keeping me.
It's a great day.
Everybody's doing good.
And Trish Clark is here with me, which makes my day just...
I love Thursday mornings, all except the part where you have to get up at 5:30 to be here. 74 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 93 and a low of 67. We're right back in the middle of summer, for heaven's sakes. On Friday, sunny and a high of 95. Friday night, 64. Saturday, sunny and a high of 91. Saturday night, 63. On Sunday, a high of 88 and a low of 60. Columbus Day, Monday, is 78 and a low of 59. Chance of showers by Tuesday, and then a slight chance of showers Tuesday night. So we're coming in, and hopefully, actually, the temperature stays in the 80s through the next couple of weeks. So I don't know. I guess this is a false fall or whatever.
Fall, yeah.
Well, looking fall. The weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
How's the sound? Does it have to go up?
Yeah, it's good. I'm good.
It's now. Good now?
I'm good now.
Okay. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
You had an eventful week.
I have had a couple of weeks, and it's all good. It's all good.
Yep. Okay, we have a guest this morning.
Yes, we do. You know, I'm so excited to have Steve on because it's been a while. We have with us this morning the fire chief from the city of Anderson, Steve Lowe. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I always want to remind the people listening because it's confusing how we get our services in Shasta County. I think most people kind of live in their house and they have absolutely no idea where their services come from. If you live in the city of Reading is a police department and a fire department, and they're all one entity, and you get that service through them. If you live in the city of Anderson and a few surrounding areas, the city of Anderson government, with you live within the city limits, and then there's the Anderson Fire Protection District, which is a total different entity. Has absolutely nothing to do with the city of Anderson, has its own elected board of directors, has its own staff that is in a special district. And Steve is the fire chief of that district. And I have the pleasure at this present time of being the president of the board of directors. So welcome, Steve, and tell us what's going on down in Anderson.
Well, thank you guys for having me. And as always, it's an honor to be here and explain about our little department down there in South Shasta County. Again, as Trish said, we are a special district, so our funding is totally separate from the city. We rely on property tax, and then we have a small parcel tax of $20 that's charged to every parcel within our jurisdiction. So our funding is very tight. We have a lot of challenges facing us moving forward here, not just our department, but every fire department nationwide. Staffing's down. We're still recruiting for staffing. We have the transient fire issue. Arson is an issue throughout Shasta County as well. And then we have, most recently since COVID, one of our big hurdles that we've been facing is extremely long ambulance wait times. When the ambulances transport someone to the hospital and they have to transfer care to a nurse at the hospital, they're having to wait sometimes up to 2, 3, 4, sometimes 6 hours before that can happen. So that ambulance is out of service that entire time. So
that's going on now?
That's going on currently to this day.
Throughout the state of California, people don't know it, talk about it, but it's a mess.
So there's some legislation.
A mess because of COVID or because
of just...
Well,
it started
with COVID. They changed the rules during COVID and didn't change them back.
Oh, I see. I got it.
Yeah, this all started with COVID because of everybody was impacted and inundated at the service level, and the hospital has staffing issues, and they're just being inundated daily to the point where we get notified most of our medical calls when we respond out that the ambulances are at level zero. So our engine crew, which we have one crew on duty every day for the population of 10,000 within our jurisdiction, they're tied up waiting for another ambulance. So it could be 35, 45, sometimes an hour wait times waiting for that ambulance. So we're tied up, and then we have to rely on our regional partners to come in behind us and go to the next call. So it's an ongoing issue.
You can't transport them.
We cannot. We are not a transporting agency.
Okay.
So all the private ambulance companies in Shasta County provide all the ambulance transport. So
well, most of your calls are medical anyway, though, right?
We're about 80 to 85% of our call volume. We run 3,000 calls a year with our small department, and so that's a huge chunk of our call volume.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it is in Redding too. Yeah, well, yeah, I think every city, most of your calls are for medical emergencies and not fires.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, like I said, this isn't just an issue for the North State, but it's statewide, nationwide. There's some assembly bills that they're trying to get passed through with Cal Chiefs and some other entities to help force the hospital's hands to take patient care within 20 minutes and get the ambulance back on the road. And it hasn't been signed yet, and it hasn't passed, so we're hoping that can happen, because we really need that to happen. We need to bolster our system. So we got a lot of loose ends we're trying to tie up there with all that too.
I know one of the ways that in the Sacramento area that they're getting around that, there's a system where and they work with a system of doctors where the medics that arrive can actually go through a doctor online to release a patient and not transport them and say we can leave them in their home.
Yeah, telemedicine, that's becoming the new latest and greatest. And even in California, we seem to be a little behind the times. In Arizona and Texas, they've been doing telemedicine for quite a while, and it's very efficient and it works well. California is doing some trial studies with it. We're only scratching the surface with it, though.
They haven't, at the Consumers Fire Department.
Yes, I'm very aware of Consumers.
My son is the one that started that.
We've worked with him quite a bit on some projects trying to bolster our system and getting some ideas of how we can move forward to the next level for our department. So it's there. It's starting to roll out in California. We're just scratching the surface with the telemedicine, and my goal, hopefully, in the next 5 to 10 years with our department, that we're a part of that.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with arson that, you're seeing it, like, maybe it's not once a week, it's a couple times a month, is that in the homeless camps, it isn't that it's arson in the sense that we think arson, where you start something on fire, for perverse pleasure. It's they start fires and just walk away, or they start fires and lose control of them.
It's more of a negligent action.
A negligent action. So,
or carelessness, reckless.
Yeah, but it still has the same result.
Absolutely.
Guess what? We got a big fire going here.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we've been fortunate in our jurisdiction, the board, several years ago, before I was the chief, was very forthcoming with wanting to curb that issue. We had a major arson issue in Anderson as well. We had several fires every day, and they were gracious enough to want to push the narrative to make that not a thing. And we partnered with the police department back in 2014, and we armed a couple of investigators and worked hand in hand with the police department and went after these crimes and held people accountable. And our investigators to this day, you can drive around the city of Anderson, we don't get as many fires, and it's a good thing.
Well, it's holding people to
accountable.
Absolutely. Which is very difficult when you get into a little bit of you get into a bigger city, which is, Redding, which is 98,000, which is not huge. And we got a full-time police department, a full-time fire department, but it's still,
There's room for improvement. They can do it in Reading. They just need to pass the ordinances to do it and then hold them accountable.
I think they've got the ordinances. It's one of these things we're afraid to get sued if we move all these people around and kick the fires out. Because we've had friends that are down when it used to be Henderson Open Spaces. There'd be fires going all the time, and they'd call the fire department or the police, and they said, well, they're warming fires or they're cooking fires. Well, if they weren't camping there, they wouldn't have warming fires and cooking fires. Yeah, am I wrong?
No, and the biggest thing that we hung our hat on early when we addressed this issue was it's not their property. They don't have written permission from the property owner, and that's what the code says about having a fire on someone else's property. They have written permission from the property owner, and the property owners most of the time don't even know that it's occurring. So,
okay. Well, we're here with Anderson Fire Department Chief Steve Long, and we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at NorCal Tractor and Equipment. NorCal Tractor and Equipment, locally owned, locally operated company out of Anderson. Started in Reading and became very successful, this young couple. And they built a new facility in Anderson at 2540 Gateway Drive, right there in Anderson. It's for all your Kubota needs, whether it's these small tractors. You ever seen these little small tractors, and they're just like a Tonka toy almost, and people use them in their backyards and stuff because they're moving stuff around? That just, you know, and then these, and they have backhoes that are small that I got to drive around one time, and it was just a lot of fun. But they also have large equipment, and you can rent it for the day, you can lease it, or you can buy from NorCal Tractor and Equipment. Good people down there. Give them a call, 530-221-6800. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
KCNR listeners will experience a planned outage on Saturday, October 7th from 8 a.m. until 8:30 a.m. as we make needed equipment upgrades. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for listening to KCNR AM 1460 and 96.5 FM.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday Mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Take a ride through the country with Colt Ford at Wind River Resort and Casino on Friday, November 17th. Colt Ford is best known for having the perfect blend of country and rap. Enjoy Colt Ford favorites like Must Be the Country and When Country Comes Back. Get working on those dance moves for this unforgettable night of boots, scootin' and boogie. Tickets for this event are just $45 plus fees and include $10 free slot play. See complete details at windriver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Must be 21 to attend. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
If
Fall savings are underway at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Maximize your car wash savings with car wash packages starting at only $11. A clean car is essential to your safety, the safety of your passengers, and even your vehicle, especially with smoke, soot, and debris in the air. Now's the time to bring your vehicle to Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Trish Clark and Carl Watt. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And this portion of the show brought to you by PSA2, Area Agency on Aging. You can't put too many A's in a row with
that. Planning and Service Area.
Planning Service Area 2 on Aging, and they have the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program. This is no cost to the people that are in it, and the whole idea behind it is to reduce the number of serious falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. This is a free program if you're in this. You call them at 530-842-1687. And learn more about the program. If you're accepted, they come in, they look at your house, and they put up things like grab rails and other things to make it easier to stay in your house, make it safer for you. That's PSA2, Area Agency on Aging. Trish Clark and I are here with Steve Lowe, who is the chief of the Anderson Police Department.
And fire department.
Fire department. I don't know why I said police department. I didn't think that. How come you don't have, like, chief on your shirt? Is it on your hat?
On my uniform shirt it does.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay, I was just wondering. You just got to pull it.
More,
nice.
More low-key.
Yeah, low-key. We were talking about the Anderson Police or Fire Department, and you've got are you short people there?
We're down a couple employees right now. We've had some people that have moved on in the last few months, so we're working on filling those gaps. Like I said, the funding is always very tight for us, so we try to save where we can for a little while and make up some difference before we move on. But we're working on it right now.
Well, didn't the people of Anderson pass a public safety
tax? In 2013, there was a public safety half-cent sales tax that was passed, but that money was through the city, and the fire district does not get any of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's an important distinction, Carl, that people even in Anderson do not agree. And when that was passed, it was confusing because – it read for public safety, for public protection. Mm-hmm. When people think of that, they think of fire and police.
Yeah.
It was not made perfectly clear during that process that the fire department was not going to get any of that money, and we didn't, because it was through the city of Anderson, and all the money went to the police department.
So what do you fall under then?
We're a special district.
A special district. You mentioned that. So you don't come under Cal Fire. You don't come under...
We're
our own district.
You don't come under Shasta County or...
No, we fall under the umbrella of Shasta County, a woefully
sad orphan.
No, we're a special district.
Yeah, we rely all
that's what I mean.
Property
tax. Another example, the Consumers Fire Department in Sacramento is another.
Yeah.
And you rely, as you pointed out, on
property tax.
And
then a special parcel tax that hasn't been changed since the 70s or 80s. Yeah.
Well, how does that change? Who changes that?
The voters. We have to take it to a vote, and we've tried a couple times over the years, but we have to have a supermajority, the four-fifths majority, and it can... I haven't seen a special tax like that in Shasta County pass in quite a while.
No.
And the issue that people need to understand is that $20 is against my house, single-family dwelling on a city lot, and Walmart pays exactly the same $20 for their parcel. An apartment complex with 40 units pays exactly the same price, $20. So no matter how many calls, it has no reference to how many calls you get or what the service requirement is. That's what needs to be changed. Cottonwood, another special district, and has a Cottonwood Fire Department down there, and they have $80-some.
I believe theirs is $80 or $90 per parcel.
That's a year.
Per year.
Yeah.
That's additional on your tax roll on top of the property.
But when the state of California was put together, you have cities, counties, and special districts.
Right.
And they all have a share of that original property tax allocation. And that's where that came from.
Well... that's not going to change then.
We're hoping there's some legislation that's coming down to change that special tax from a supermajority to a simple majority. There's another avenue that we could go is a voter initiative. If the voters bring it forward to change, bring this tax forward to change it, a voter initiative, we could do a simple majority. We're just waiting for this legislation to go through because it was passed once before, and then this Patriot, there was a Voter Protection Act that came through just recently, and in the fine print of that, it said it was going to reverse the four-fifths overruling that they did. So, like, City of Chico just passed a half-cent or a 1% sales tax increase, and they're kind of waiting to see if this gets overturned. If it does, then theirs is null and void. But if it goes through...
Well, there was a reason they made it four-fifths, and that was to keep municipalities from just skyrocketing people's taxes, I believe.
And so it's hurt us smaller guys.
And
especially
then when you get into districts like yours, where you can say, well, you know, it's a little bit different than a city administration who's spending millions of dollars, and it's like green crack to them, and that they just want more of your money to put into weird things, as opposed to a special fire district that needs that money.
Yeah.
But the city's grown. Everybody falls under that one.
The city's grown exponentially since I've been in there in the department, and we're just trying to keep up with what's going on with the growth and our call volume. So it's not like we're asking for the world. We're just asking for enough to keep growing and build the department. We have some of the most dedicated people I've ever worked with. We're a small agency, so we heavily rely on our people. Everybody in our department wears multiple hats. We don't have a deputy chief over operations and a deputy chief over training and administration and fleet and maintenance. That falls on all of our staff. So all of our members, our captains, our engineers, and our firefighters, they all wear multiple hats. So not only are they're working their 2 days, they work a 48-96 schedule. So on their 2 days on, not only are they responding to emergencies, but somebody helps with medical training. They help coordinate fire training stuff. Somebody has to order the medical supplies. Somebody's in charge of fleet maintenance, coordinating and scheduling and all that.
That's on the 4 days off.
And they get 4 days off in between, but they're on their days off. They're either helping out with overtime because of fires, or they're making sure that their programs are still running smooth. So we have a small department, but we have a really strong department. We have great people that work for us, and we want to keep that going.
How many engines do you have?
So we run one staffed engine every day. So we just purchased a new engine. Thankfully, the board allowed us to purchase it. The price tag is huge. It was $800,000. The last engine we purchased, it was in 2006, and it was only $300,000. So you can see from 2006 till now the price increase, and that was a standard pumper that we bought. It wasn't fancy. It didn't have all the bells and whistles that we would love to have that some departments get to do. This was an engine that we purchased knowing that it would last us 20 years and it would be the best functionality that we could have for our citizens. It's capable of handling all of our different types of emergencies. It's kind of a one-stop shop. But we staff one engine every day, but we have a type one engine. We have a reserve type one engine that's going to go away here in a year or two. It's worn out. We ran it into the ground because that's what we have to do. We have a ladder truck that we cross staff on occasion. And then we have a two type three engines that we take out for like wildland fires on deployments.
Okay.
We're an active, and we have a really good working relationship with all the other fire districts in Shasta County, as well as a really good working relationship with the city of Anderson, police department, city staff. We cross train on a lot of different functions that we do.
Yeah, people need to understand that just because we're the fire department, there's a lot of stuff that they don't see that we train with. We train with the police department and the whole entire county on active shooter training, where we would assume the role of a rescue task force in God forbid we ever had an event like that in Shasta County. No one in this county is going to be able to handle that event on their own. So our staff have all the equipment and training to where if we had to respond to somewhere in our jurisdiction or outside, we would have the body armor and the training to assume that role. We train constantly with our neighboring agencies. We try to do at least once a month. Get out there and just know our regional partners and know their equipment, and they know our equipment and our personnel and our capabilities, and we try to work together. We have a great working relationship with all of our cooperating agencies.
We got to take a quick break here. You guys are in kind of a quandary there because you are kind of hanging out there. You're not special district. It seems to me if you're in a special district, does the state just wash their hands of you?
So basically what would happen is if something catastrophic happened, our department would fail, we would default back to the county. So the county fire department would basically have to pick up the services, which is under contract with Cal Fire. So it would eventually fall back on the county contract.
Okay. All right. Got to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. Patrick Gorman specializes in workers' compensation. He's a former law enforcement. He's a veteran. Worked for insurance companies for a couple of years and didn't like it. So he came up here to Palo Cedro and opened up his own office. And now it's the largest workers' comp office in north of Sacramento. If you're having problems with getting treatments or denials, or you just have a question, give Patrick Gorman a call at 530-262-2168 for a free consultation. Work injuries can be life-changing, not just for you, but for your family. Get the advice from best lawyer around that understands all of the facets of what happens in a workers' compensation case. Patrick Gorman, 530-262-2168. We'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Tulum would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
business.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Now at Black Bear Diner, enjoy four new buttermilk biscuit creations. So huge, so monumental, you're going to need a fork and knife to enjoy them. Each featuring our enormous, baked, fresh in our kitchen, everyday buttermilk biscuits. The baby burn chicken fried steak, the savory tri-tip benedict, the hot honey crispy chicken, the colossal breakfast club. So get to Black Bear Diner today and grab your fork and knife for a limited time only.
Black Bear Diner.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Today, the 5th of October, 7:36 in the morning. It's about, I don't know what the temperature is right now, but it feels like about 59 or 60. I'm going to go to a high near 93 today. We're here with Anderson Fire Department Chief Steve Lowe, and we've been talking about something I didn't know, that they are in their own separate district. They don't fall under Anderson as far as funding or Shasta County as far as funding. They have their own special district, which leads to problems because it's based on parcel taxes and property taxes, and the parcel tax is $20 per property, but that includes, like, Walmart gets $20, and Trish has pays $20 for her house.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem, you know, it should be, you know, if it's a business that's, you know, this size or whatever, that you bump that up to, you know, 100 a year. This isn't a month, but a year.
Yeah, our goal is to revamp that whole parcel tax fee and make it relative to what your parcel is or what's on your parcel.
Keep it the same.
Well, yeah. No, it should be. A fire protection for an entire year, each house should be willing to pay $80, $90 a year. I mean, I don't think that's unreasonable.
Right. Yeah, if this is your only fire protection,
That's what you're paying for.
You're paying $8 a month.
Well, there you go. And then do a square footage charge for a commercial property. Perhaps per unit in an apartment complex, have a fee for that. I think it's equitable, and I think it's something that the citizens of Anderson appreciate the service that they get. And I think if it's presented to them in a proper manner at some point where we can, and perhaps do a citizens initiative, to continue to have the kind of service they get from the Anderson Fire Protection District.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's one of those things we have to do it sooner than later. It's time. We've been talking about it, and we keep saying, oh, it's not the right time because now this has happened. But I don't think there's ever going to be a right time. I think the time is we just need to do it and make it happen. And I'm hoping that there's people in the community that want to step forward and be a part of that that citizens charge to help us get it done. That would be the easiest way for us to do it instead of us putting it on. But it needs to happen. And just so people know too, we're not the only ones that are in this quandary here. There's 11 special districts in Shasta County, and all of them are underfunded, understaffed. And so it's time that we need to do something to bolster our department and get that funding increased and continue to grow. It's 2023 and you know, it's not going to get any slower. Our call volume's not going to go down. It's only going to keep going up.
Let's talk a bit about the youth effort. We have problems with youth arson, and there's a program to address that in Shasta County.
So in 2014, a group of people came together and realized that the youth set fires or youth caused fires or fire issues in Shasta County was through the roof. And they formed a committee called YFPI, Youth Fire Center Prevention and Intervention. And since then, they hold an academy once a year for all youth that have been identified in a fire set or a fire related issue, and they've put 200 kids through this academy since 2014, and we've seen maybe one or two that have reoffended in that time period. So it's been a very successful program, and it's a conglomerate of multiple agencies. We have all the law enforcement agencies, fire agencies, district attorney's office, private entities, churches, private businesses that come in and support, and it's a lot of work to get this done. So basically what happens is if the fire department or law enforcement agency is notified of a fire and we determine that it was a youth set fire, a bunch of us have been through the training. It's NFPA, National Recognized Training. We go through this process to identify that they're the ones that did it. We submit a case report like we do for everything else to juvenile probation or to youth options, and they determine this juvenile is probably best set to go to diversion instead of going to peer court or facing criminal charges. They go to this diversion program, and once a year in November, we host a two-night academy, and we bring them in, and they're broke up into age group. The parents go into a group. We ask their parents and their siblings to attend as well, and there's a workbook we go through and try to teach them better life skills, teach them to make better decisions, talk about peer pressure, talk about decision-making, and they're getting into the ages where they're going to actually be held accountable and could face fines or restitution, and show them that the cost of fire, what it could do. I mean, fire is very dangerous. It's very catastrophic. We've seen that here in Shasta County, so it's a big issue. I'm happy to say right now our next academy is in November, and I think yesterday the numbers, we were down to 36 total.
Oh.
For the whole year, for the whole county. So that's huge from years past of how many kids we had for the year. So it is making an impact in the county. And again, it's another one of those programs. It's multiple people involved that all have full-time jobs that do this because they care. And so it's other people wearing multiple hats doing another program in our county and with minimal funding because it's a nonprofit.
Oh, a lot of stuff going on. I had no idea that fire district was so special, and it seems and getting a 4/5 vote on a tax raise is going to be hard. There's got to be another way to. I mean, you want to have a full complement of firefighters, and you want to be able to have your full complement of trucks, which sounds like you pretty much have now. I mean, it's just cost you a lot of money. But for the firefighters themselves, how does your pay compare to, say, Reading?
Not even comparable.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. And it's the same thing that Sheriff's Office was having. Mm-hmm. And they had to start giving raises. But if you give raises to your guys so they're competitive, so all these people coming out of the fire academy and there's numerous graduates there. Mm-hmm. They can get a job that pays them what? How much more an hour?
Quite a bit more. I think Reading just got a significant pay raise within the last few months.
So is it $10 an hour more? Or?
I would say it's probably $10 to $20 an hour more, yeah. Starting. That's entry-level firefighter positions.
Yeah. So their entry level is paying more than your guys with experience, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, and people need to understand, too, the cost of fuel is affecting everybody, not just everybody that's driving to work every day, but our fire engines and our equipment. We have to do it. We can't just not fuel up a fire engine. So we're having to get, fuel, too.
And you cut back on the medical cost?
Not really.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah. We're kind of stuck. It's one of those things.
We are the service provided through 911.
We've tried to change our delivery model a little bit here and there, and I mean, we still have to be ready to respond at a moment's notice. So, It's kind of one of those things, you know, the cost of insurance is going up. The cost of retirement is going up. Just the cost of everything, cost of doing business is going up. I mean, sending people to training, we have to send people to training. We can't just expect them to get on the job training and survive. We have to send them out of town to classes and learn the new latest and greatest and get all those slides in the slide tray. So even sending people out of town to training, we have to pay for their, you know, their food. We have to pay for them to have somewhere to stay while they're out. So it's very expensive to run an agency. But we have to do what we have to do, and we're going to continue doing what we're doing to make sure that's happening and get our people to training and move forward.
Well, and we've been very inventive in the last few years about doing some trainings locally, partnering with other organizations to bring that training. That only benefits the Anderson Fire Protection District, but it benefits the Redding Fire Department and Cal Fire and all of them when we can bring training up here and not have to send our people off for various trainings that are required.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime we can bring something here to the North State is a win for everybody. And getting those people to come up here is sometimes tough just because of our geographic location. But we still work on it. But we're not going to stop doing the right thing and sending our people to training.
Okay, we got to take a quick break here. If you're thinking about purchasing an electric car, an electric truck, or an electric bike, Redding Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofredding.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. I've been thinking about an electric bike. You know, on the way down, it's not a problem because, you know, it's downhill and flat. On the way back, and the hills aren't that bad, but I thought, well, electric bike, go back and forth to work. Just bring it in and plug it in. I don't know. Is that making too much of a statement? Anyway, REU has rebates available out there for people who are interested in electric vehicles. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
Turtle Bay's Harvest in the Gardens is Saturday, October 7th, featuring a hay maze, animals, live music, a mini farmer's market, pumpkin painting, and more. Harvest in the Garden, Saturday, October 7th. Tickets and info at turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay's 17th annual fall plant sale is taking place Saturday, October 7th, featuring California natives and drought-tolerant plants propagated on-site for our region. Turtle Bay's fall plant sale, Saturday, October 7th. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Come join Redding Electric Utility in celebrating Public Power Week on Friday, October 6th. This year's free family event will be held in downtown Redding on the Market Street block. There will be electric safety demonstrations, police and fire demonstrations, and free treats. This event will include energy-efficient raffle prizes, including a new e-bike. Come join the celebration on Friday, October 6th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. For more information, call 530-339-7300 or visit our Facebook page at Redding Electric Utility.
Join Shop Around the Corner Books for a local author fair Saturday, October 7th, 10 to 2. Meet local authors, enjoy live music, coffee, and children's activities in an outdoor fair on Dude Street. Shop Around the Corner Books, 1430 Butte Street, downtown Redding. Join Shop Around the Corner Books for a local author fair Saturday, October 7th, 10 to 2. Meet local authors, enjoy live music, coffee, and children's activities in an outdoor fair on Butte Street. Shop Around the Corner Books, 1430 Butte Street, downtown Redding.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, in our newest location in Anderson and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
Chair dancing there.
No, it was Christina and I. We got it down now, right? We got that head banging down. Yeah. Did you see that movie, Night at the Roxbury?
Of course I did.
Of course
it's my favorite
did.
One.
If you have ever seen Night at the Roxbury, that song, what we were doing is self-explanatory. If you've seen the movie.
I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, well, it's probably not one that's on the top of your list, but it's got Will Ferrell and some of the guys from Saturday Night Live. It's a stupid, funny movie.
And it's so funny. They also make 8 hours for this moment where they're just sitting in the car and shaking the head.
Yeah, just they're doing this. And he gets excited and he breaks the window. Anyway, maybe we'll have to put that on video and show that to people. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical. What? I mean, come on. Get with it. Of course, this was like 20 years ago when it came out. So anyway, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the top-rated hospitals in the United States, top 50 when it comes to cardiovascular health, as rated by the Watson Health Institute, the Da Vinci Xi surgical robotic system, less pain, faster recovery times, recognized as a national level stroke center. So many things are happening there at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. Our guest today, Steve Lowe, chief and of the Anderson Fire Department. And we've been, I'm just taken aback by the things I'm hearing today. It's a little orphan agency. It's out there. Okay. I know you don't like to hear that,
but
you're in your special district, and you're relying on a tax that was from the 70s?
The
parcel tax, so to be able to compete for hiring firemen, fire personnel. I mean, and they're getting paid anywhere from $10 to $20 an hour less, not a day, an hour less, because of the money problems, yet you guys are out there putting out fires and keeping things under control.
Well,
so God bless you.
Well, and the other thing is, we have how many people on the engine when we go out?
Currently, we're at 4 every day.
Yeah, and there isn't another agency that does that on every call.
Reading just started doing on a couple. But
yeah, we've been doing that for some time.
I thought Reading had like 3 now. They're running 3 to an engine.
Some of
now.
Them, I think 3 engines in the city right now have 4.
I have 4.
Yeah.
Now, why is the importance of having more than 2?
Because NFPA is our regulatory agency. It's not law, but it is one of those agencies that if we try to not meet that level, then we're negligent if something is to go bad. And NFPA 1710 says that you're supposed to have 12 to 15 firefighters at the scene of a residential fire within 8 minutes of the first alarm that we're notified. So that's a lot of people.
And you can't go into the facility.
We can't even go inside of a burning building until there's a minimum of 4 people there. We have to have
I thought it was 3.
OSHA rule is called two in, two out, so we have to have 4. So
I have a feeling that you got 2 guys on the fire and there's somebody in there.
Well,
they may bend that.
That's the only time that rule can be broken.
Oh, if somebody's in there.
If we have a confirmed rescue, we have to have a confirmed rescue. We can't just say somebody might be in there. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have a confirmed rescue, then we can suspend that rule and two people or one person, whatever, can go in and attempt to make a rescue.
Let me give you an example about a fire. We had a house fire out here on Willits, right down the street, and it started to spread. Something like 8 engines came in there. 8 engines. Every engine in the Redding Fire Department was there, plus CAL FIRE.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe you guys drove up just to get into the fight. But threw that many at it. But they were able to save 2 of the houses and most of the 3rd. But that's how many people were out there fighting the fire. So when you're saying you have to roll with...
Yeah, so that's why we rely heavily on our auto aid and mutual aid agreements with our partners in the county that... We have to have that, or we would.
Does the county have a firefighting group?
So there's Shasta County Fire Department.
They contract with CAL FIRE.
So right. CAL FIRE is administering their services.
Administering, does that mean they're providing the firefighters?
They provide the staffing, yes.
Okay.
Through a contract.
And you've got these agreements with everybody, too. So if you're running some problems, like you're running over here to this fire...
We have no delay in services. We automatically have someone that takes our next call,
okay.
And vice versa. We do the same for them. So they're out on a call when
they're coming. All right.
So it's a very dynamic situation that we have. That there's always somebody going, but the services will be delayed. Somebody's always going to go to the next call. Mm-hmm. It just may be coming from Cottonwood. It may be coming from the airport. It may be coming from the new county station up by SPI, and it may be coming from even further away. It just depends on what's going on in the county. But we have agreements in place for that. And every structure fire we get multiple engines coming in, so it's not just us. But it's still not enough.
Well, if only 15% of the cases you roll on is fires, everybody, it's kind of like active shooter in the police department, everybody races to that, or something, but I can, and so everybody's covered, but we need to do, people need to be aware of the problems that Steve Lowe and the Anderson Fire District is facing as far as manning and equipment cost and payment costs for all their people. Yeah, I'm surprised that when we made a big thing, a very successful thing of passing Anderson's safety tax, that it wasn't in there.
City of Anderson. Well, it could have, but we've since made some agreements with the city about new annexation areas and some tax exchange agreements between the city of Anderson and the fire district. So there's a cooperative effort. I don't want people to get the impression we don't work well with Anderson. But that tax issue was one that was not focused on, and people just didn't understand. Steve, tell us what's going on with the school thing, fire prevention.
Yeah, so next week is fire prevention week. We have a group in the county called the Shasta County Fire Prevention Officers, and their goal is to do public education. And because of other commitments, they decided that this week they were going to get back and do the school visits that we used to do prior to COVID. COVID kind of killed that whole program. So this week there's a group of individuals going to a few schools. We had to make it smaller this year just so we could get our minds wrapped around it and not overextend. But we're doing 2 schools a day. Today, I believe they're at Manzanita and Turtle Bay School, and tomorrow they'll be up in Shingletown and Junction. We hit 2 Anderson schools. We've hit Igo and Happy Valley. So every day we're hitting 2 schools this week, and they're delivering a fire safety message to children from kindergarten to 4th grade, or maybe even higher if they've asked to send more students. But they're talking about campfire safety, knowing 2 ways out of your house, what to do if you hear the smoked alarm, using the back of your hand to see if it's hot at the door, and don't exit if the door's hot. Find a second way out and have a meeting place and stop, drop, and roll. So we're trying to hit the highlights of Fire Prevention Week and get back into the schools to teach our youth about fire safety.
And these are important things. And I don't think a lot of people realize a lot of things that happened during the pandemic. It's taken a time to get us back to the things we've always done in our communities for our children, for our community, and we're adamant, specifically at the Anderson Fire Protection District, about getting life back to normal and doing the things that we do as a
Yeah, a lot of the programs that we were a part of prior to COVID are just now starting getting back to normal. Some of them have changed a little bit to where we don't do the exact same thing we did before. There may be a different delivery model, but we're trying to get everything back the way it was because we need to be out in the community teaching the fire safety and connecting with our senior citizens group, with our community risk division and help reducing risk, not just with fire prevention, but with other things that we can help reduce risk in our community.
And the one thing I wanted to touch on, not this time of year, but we didn't get to, is the issue with keeping your properties cleaned up. And if you had, you know, mowing and keeping the grass down, all those things, we have a really good ordinances in our fire protection district where we enforce and make people take care of their property.
We have an exterior hazard abatement ordinance that we passed prior to the car fire, and it's a robust ordinance, and our fire marshal's office is very busy dealing with those on a daily basis. I think we had almost 80 open cases this year, working in conjunction with city code enforcement and county code enforcement, trying to combat getting some of the blight properties and some of the fire hazards taken care of in our jurisdiction. It's been very successful. We still have a little more work to do, but it's been very successful.
And if you're bumping up against where you see your neighbor cleaning up thoroughly and the others and you're not, could be you're in the county.
Yep.
Okay. Steve Lowe, the chief of the Anderson Fire District, and thanks so much for coming on today.
I
learned a lot of things, kind of scary things, that I was just, you know, I think a lot of people thought that the public safety tax was going to take care of the fire district, too, but it didn't. Okay.
There you go.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, look, tell your people how much they're appreciated and stay safe.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, we've got the Anderson Police Department Chief, John Pulaski, is with us.
He has ties to Super PAC, spent millions in support of Republican candidates in the last election cycle, some of whom voted to take the Speaker's gavel away from McCarthy. Congressman Mike Gallagher says wouldn't take much, some basic rules changes, and Congress could meet its budget deadlines without the constant threats of a government shutdown.
Simple things like aligning the fiscal year with the regular year, which is the lowest of low-hanging fruit, would go a long way towards avoiding this complete chaos. I actually think there's a lot you can do in bipartisan fashion to clean up the nuts and bolts of how we budget, or don't budget, as the case may be.
The Wisconsin lawmaker tells the Salem Radio Network that GOP infighting could cost the Republicans control of the House in 2024. Fall may be in the air where you are, but that's not the case everywhere, as Larry Marino at AM 870 The Answer in Los Angeles explains.
Southern California is in for a heat wave.
We're looking at an offshore flow event where that offshore flow provides that those standing out winds and also provides that heat to us.
That's meteorologist Todd Hall, whose office is in Oxnard, where they felt the warm-up yesterday.
Well, yesterday we were 94 degrees here in our office in Oxnard, but in Burbank it was 90 degrees.
He says some valley spots may be cooler than on the coast.
It's really interesting with these Santa Ana wind events because sometimes you get that compressional heating that takes place.
Expect 94 to 100 for the San Fernando Valley. Larry Marino, Los Angeles.
On a Russian rocket strike on a village in eastern Ukraine, at least 49 civilians killed, according to Ukrainian officials. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 137 points, the Nasdaq off 143. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Donald Trump's indictment proves that saving America is not going to be easy. There are entrenched powers that are fighting this with everything they've got. They want to keep control over the country, the narrative, and the nation's money supply. Hi, I'm Lance Wallnow. I'm a news analyst, a Christian author, an evangelical leader. I speak to millions of people every week, people just like you. You see, what the elites are doing is using inflation and government handouts and now central bank digital currencies to determine how they're going to control America. And that's why I recommend all Christians start a gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. Because physical precious metals are one of the few ways you can maintain control over your own savings. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and you'll see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached. Text the word FAITH to 989898 and you're going to be blessed by taking action right now.
How to get from here to there securely. That's a challenge facing Australia's Prime Minister.
Anthony Albanese is reportedly looking at alternative ways to travel to China later this year. The Australian newspaper claims that high-level sources fear the Prime Minister's military plane, which has advanced communications and navigation systems, could be hacked by Chinese spies. Mr. Albanese's official visit is meant to be another step in repairing ties with Beijing that have been fractured by political and trade disputes. China is by far Australia's most important trading partner.
The BBC's Phil Mercer. A special unit of German police and customs officials has raided several properties of a Russian national in the southern state of Bavaria. The unidentified Russian is subject to sanctions and asset freezes by the European Union. News and analysis, townhall.com. You can say so long to the coronavirus vaccination card.
Vaccines are no longer being distributed by the government, so the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention stopped printing the cards. The CDC shipped out more than 980 million cards between late in 2020, when the first vaccines came out, through May of this year. Getting rid of the cards won't mean there will be any big changes. The shots are now available through local pharmacies, doctor's offices, and health departments. If you still have your card, it's still valid as proof of vaccination. Otherwise, people who need their immunization records can ask for them just like any other vaccine. I'm Ed Donahue.
The check is in the mail, or soon will be. Nearly every Alaskan is in line to receive just over $1,300 this week. It is the annual dividend from the earnings of the state's Nest Egg Oil Wealth Fund. The annual payment has sparked debate among state lawmakers and some residents. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Today's the 5th of October, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. My Ukrainian princess, Christina, is there. Say something pleasant in Ukrainian.
Всім бажаю гарного дня.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wish everybody a really nice day, to be honest.
Well, that's good. Trish is here. Trish, wish everybody a good day.
Well, I can only do that
Anderson.
In English.
No, you're from Anderson. You all got your own patois down there.
Yeah, well, we just speak better down there. And when we wish you a good day, it really means something.
Hey, bless your heart.
73 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 93, a low this evening of 57. On Friday, a high of 96 on Friday night, clear and a low of 64. On Saturday, sunny again, a high of 91 and a low of 63. Sunday, sunny, a high of 88, a low of 60. On Columbus Day, a high of 78 and a chance of showers. Let's hope that develops. And on Monday night, a low of 59. On Tuesday, again, a chance of showers. Going to stay in the 70s and 80s through the foreseeable future after this week of a little bit of that ridiculous 90-degree.
90 degrees, come on. But yeah. But then last week was so beautiful.
I know. Yeah. But, you know, I've loved this weather. We had a really good rain in the last winter, and we had not an unreasonable summer. We live in Shasta County. We expect 100 degrees.
Love Shasta County.
But it didn't last forever. It didn't kill us. And now we're having a beautiful fall. Can't shame on any of that. The weather is always brought to Shasta by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. That's Anderson-based business.
Before we, and they're great. Family-owned. I love Chuck Kenny.
Yeah, great. People.
Before we start with our guest, our esteemed guest here, I want to talk about something. You know, we kind of pride ourselves here. We'll talk about newsworthy items, things that are happening in our community. I guess you could say that's news, and part of it is opinion. You know, when you get the news, but there was such a confusing article that came out in the Record Searchlight yesterday, that the Sheriff's Department was throwing out disclaimers and all of this, where they somehow, in the beginning of the article, claim that conservative groups, individuals, and they name people, like, you know, I'll throw Terry Raposa's name out there, that, you know, these people were
under investigation.
And then later in the article said, well, maybe not. Well, then the Sheriff's Department had to put out Facebook pages, press releases. It said that's not what was said. That was totally misinterpreted. We've got ongoing investigations, but none or most, or, you know, none of these people may not be, you know, are not being investigated. But that was the strangest article, and especially when it comes down to law enforcement. When you hear and you see on the front, conservative groups and individuals in Shasta County under investigation, and with, you know, when you see something like that, that, you know.
Well, it brings to, it just is a perfect example of almost anything you read in the paper. Get another source and get to the source. You believe in what you're reading in the paper, you're not finding out the facts.
Now, here's the hammer on that. Sometimes it is. You know, like they captured pretty well what happened at the national level, because that was maybe written by somebody at the national level. But when they got into this, the story literally had two main parts. One saying it was happening and one saying, well, maybe it wasn't, and then not getting comments back. To the extent, like I said, then the Shasta County Sheriff's Department had to publish, this is not what was said. We really have to watch that, being in our position, that we don't repeat something like this. Or the next day we come back and we address it to say, you know, that wasn't true. It was not so fast there. But now, with our guest today, you get it straight from the horse's mouth. So, and then we archive it, so then they can go back and say, well, yeah, that's exactly what I meant. So with us is Anderson Police Chief John Paletsky.
Good morning.
And you brought with you Captain Nate Ramirez.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So I have... you know, Carl actually was going to be out of town.
Right.
Booked, that's why you're getting a good taste of Anderson today, because every time I get an opportunity to do the show.
We need to do that.
We need to recognize.
And we need to bring in the mayor and, you know, and the city manager at the same time, because Anderson is a big part of our.
Well, community. And we have to recognize within Shasta County, again, as I said in the first hour, people really don't know where they get their government. They don't know what the makeup of Shasta County is. Everybody kind of assumes that Shingletown, Bernie, all of these places are cities. They're not. We have three cities in Shasta County. We have county government. We have the city of Redding, the city of Anderson, and the city of Shasta Lake. All of those other communities are just towns, or they're unincorporated communities within county government. And so all of our people don't know where they get their services. They dial 911. Somebody shows up and they're never sure why or where what their services are. I like to point out these things by bringing in the people from Anderson.
Sure.
We need to have people from Shasta Lake from time to time. Everybody in Shasta County gets their services from a varied of agency, even if you live within one of the cities or their jurisdictions. You live in the city of Anderson, you're still getting county services. You're getting services from the Anderson Fire Protection District. You live in the city of Redding, you're getting county services. All of those things. So that's, we're going to show them what happens down in Anderson. Of course, we all believe living down in Anderson is the far superior place to live in Shasta County.
That's right. We like to coin it the safest city in Shasta County.
There you go.
Well, let me tell you, we just stopped by Becca's the other day, Linda and I did, and just it was such – I'm so glad we did it. We ended up talking with Becca, and they're in the course in the process of moving across the freeway, essentially, to a bigger place. But to hear her story – and we're going to have her on, and, you know, it's a one of caring for a community and then it coming back a thousandfold.
The community caring for her. That's what Anderson's made of.
And, you know, Anderson is, we go through this thing about it's hard to get things built. That's why you've got two businesses I know of down there, big businesses that moved into Anderson, because they make it easy.
Yeah.
So, Chief, Let's just jump right into this one about the jail. How big a problem not having enough room in the jail?
I consider it probably the biggest issue that we currently have in Anderson, and I believe also probably Shasta County as a whole. It is being not able to hold people accountable for the crimes that they commit, or if we're having somebody who is just constantly being a nuisance and we're dealing with them almost on a daily basis, we have nowhere to house them or put them for a time being. And, you know, and most of these people that we're dealing with that are either strung out, they're on drugs, and they need a place to go to sober up for a little bit before services can be provided to them. And I strongly believe that services do need to be provided at some point, but if you're not going to be able to hold them in jail, and the probably one of the worst times to provide services to somebody is when they are high and under the influence, and because they're not understanding, they're not in their right mind at that point. And the only way to get them that service or that help is, unfortunately, sometimes is when they're creating a nuisance or creating a problem or breaking the law, we have to arrest them and take them to jail. And if you're able to hold those people and then hold them accountable for the crimes they've committed, but then while they're there, if they're there for multiple days in a row, they start to sober up, and then services then can be provided to them, mental health, drug treatment, all those types of things. So it just is such a huge part of our community. It's what when I first moved to Shasta County in 2005, I thought this was a utopia. You know, there is room in the jail. People are safe. We don't have all the issues that we currently have today back then. And I came from Humboldt County, and today's Shasta County reminds me a lot of Humboldt County 20 years ago, where the issues and problems we were dealing with then.
You know, Chief, I take note of that, because that's the county that I left when I retired from the Board of Supervisors in 2007. As you indicate,
yeah,
totally different. It's amazing how much this county has changed in such a short time.
Well,
absolutely.
And we have to take a break, but let's lay this on the, you know, where that happened. It didn't happen. The people in Reading did not change.
No,
what changed was the leadership, and that's a weird word, down in Sacramento, and the two propositions that people voted for. That turned people loose on the streets, made us keep people, took away any hammer we had to try and get people in to help or keep them from stealing. I mean, that was a statewide thing. So
which started at the federal level,
yeah,
when they started closing jails. Yeah.
And then they were closing prisons and all
go.
This is, but the Democrats down in Sacramento, but the voters passed 47-57. Right. It didn't pass up here. Yeah. But it passed everywhere else, and they had it, and now they're trying to fight it and make changes in 47.
Yeah.
And they think they've got a shot at that, but it wasn't that the people here changed. It was the laws changed. So, okay, got to take a break. This portion of the show is brought to you by Trish's Home Away From Home, Four Winds Jewelry, located at 2225.
Candy store.
Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, locally owned, locally operated. Great people there, a super selection of jewelry, anything from Native American, old pawn, in fact, to specially designed pieces and everything in between, and the only watch repairman in Northern California. That's Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back.
All the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County, you took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Now at Black Bear Diner, enjoy four new buttermilk biscuit creations. So huge, so monumental, you're going to need a fork and knife to enjoy them. Each featuring our enormous, baked, fresh in our kitchen every day buttermilk biscuits. The baby burn chicken fried steak, the savory tri-tip benedict, the hot honey crispy chicken, the colossal breakfast club. So get to Black Bear Diner today and grab your fork and knife for a limited time only.
Black Bear Diner.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. You're hitting it today, kid. Of course, I'm running here with ideas, but you find it and you play it. You play the right parts of a song. Sometimes, you know, the intro goes on forever and you can't even hear it, but you get right into it. So
the lines you're looking for.
8:21 in the morning on the 5th of October. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, locally owned, locally operated. They've been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened almost 17 years ago. Four branches, one in Red Bluff, one in Anderson, two right here in Redding. And you can learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We use Cornerstone Community Bank. We're really happy with them. Our guest today is the Anderson Police Chief, John Paletsky, and Captain Nate Ramirez. And let's go to – okay, I got one question, and then we're going to shift over to you, so get ready.
All right.
The sheriff floated a plan to add extra people, which is what he needed. He needed like seven officers or seven people working to be able to open up the third deck. And that became a problem, not just with Anderson, but all the agencies. What was the reasoning behind Anderson's choice to say, well, you know what, it needs to be open, but not like this?
Yeah, so Anderson, the city of Anderson is back in 2014, it passed the sales tax, Major A, to fund and support basically public safety. And also part of that sales tax was to go to our parks and things like that. So when the sheriff floated his plan to house or to have the outside agents, allied agencies come in and house, or I mean, and so, work at the jail.
Like one from each agency.
One from each agency, yeah. So That we had had a previous meeting prior to that that Board of Supervisors meeting where we had explained to him, he was with Chief Schuler and I, and we had explained that we were, you know, not willing or open to that plan because I had an obligation to the city of Anderson. The city of Anderson pays our employees, pays me to keep that city safe and keep our staff in that city. And they passed that sales tax in order to get the staffing levels of our police department up. And that is one thing when I got there was asked to do is to get us to fully funded police department. And over my time there, and I've been there about 2 years now, and we've, you know, we went from about, I think it was 16 or so officers, and we're up to 25 now. And so, and we're fully staffed and fully funded for that. And to just give away one of my officers to go work in the jail, and now I'm already back down. And when you're in an agency of 20-something officers and you lose, and, you know, not all those are the officers on the streets. Obviously, we have command staff and all and detectives and all that. So you take an officer off the streets and put him in the jail, I'm losing almost, you know, 5-7% of my agency already just on one. And then I get one on a sick time or at court or on vacation. Now I'm down 10%, you know, so it starts to affect us very quick. And that ball starts to roll very quickly downhill.
Okay. And you were pretty clear about that in what you wrote. It's not that you don't want the jail open. It's just there's got to be another way.
And not that I'm not willing to work with the sheriff's department either. Yeah.
And sure enough, he's come up with another plan. Now, one of the things you did offer, and I think Bill Shuler did the same thing, if you have to pull officers off that's in your area, you will pick that up.
Yeah, we had come up with a little bit of a plan to where Chief Shuler would be willing and has offered to cover calls for service, you know, kind of in that central part of Shasta County, out towards Palisadro, out towards the west side of Shasta County here, and up into Shasta Lake area. And then we were agreeing to handle calls, you know, kind of from the casino on 273 all the way down towards Anderson and then out towards Happy Valley and Cottonwood. And so that would alleviate... obviously, we're not going to be out there patrolling in all those areas. But we would have handle and respond to in progress, high priority calls for them, and assist them in those areas if need be. And that has not they have not come and asked that of us in their new plan. We haven't started doing that, but I am more than willing to do that because that's what our officers are trained for. And then when they handle those calls, they get back into our city and be able to handle our calls for service and be there for the citizens of Anderson.
Because it behooves Anderson to get that jail open. Because I heard a story from one of your guys that one of your recalcitrants down there, the jail picked up 153 times, brought him back up to the Shasta County Jail. And by the time he finished his paperwork, the guy was standing out there next to his car and wanted to ride back to Anderson.
Yeah.
He said it was the first time in his life he really thought about, you know, police violence.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize that when the city of Anderson did pass that, it was an advisory measure that was accompanying it. They passed it on the low threshold so that we had the choice in the city of Anderson, you, the city, as to whether you actually did what they said or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you fully, more than agreed to the advisory the first few years that money was used to really up the police protection. And we've continued to use that money as the voters requested. And I think that's important to note that we paid attention down there and we did what they said with the advisory measure.
Absolutely, yeah. And I don't want to take any credit away from Sheriff Johnson. He was the one, you know, as the chief of police there when that came through, and he was the one that was
sure,
moving towards that. I just picked up what he had done and continued to move that forward. So it was a collaborated effort by everybody there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you've been sitting over there thinking he was, you know, fireproof.
Well, thought he was going to skate here.
Yeah. Captain Nate Ramirez, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I was born and raised in Anderson, so I'm a Anderson hometown boy. Graduated from Anderson High, go Cubs. I moved away for a little while and went to college, went to the police academy, and this was unfortunately in that 2010-2011 era where our kind of that recession was hitting, and there wasn't a lot of police jobs at that time. So I was fortunate enough to get picked up by the Stockton Police Department for a little while, and realized quickly that I missed home and I missed Northern California, so I spent almost a...
Well, being a policeman in Stockton isn't quite what you'd call a plum assignment there, buddy.
Yes, so I'm 21, 22 years old at this time, and leaving Anderson and NorCal for the first time and going down to Stockton and spent almost a year down there. Went through their training program, got off, was working the streets by myself, and saw a Anderson flyer for a PD job back here and said, man, I want to go home so bad, and applied for it. Chief Johnson at the time hired me, and I've been now with Anderson PD for over a decade.
Well, congratulations.
That time goes by so quickly.
Yeah.
So what are your duties?
Well, yeah. I'm the captain, so I'm overseeing both of our divisions.
How many captains are there? Just one? Okay.
So we have a support services side, which is our records and our property and detectives. So I oversee all of them, and I have a lieutenant under me on that division. And then I also oversee our field services division, which is our more of our uniformed patrol division. So I oversee them, and there's a lieutenant over that.
And okay, pretend your chief's not sitting next to you. Wouldn't you like to have, like, a small building with two cells in it, kind of like a Mayberry cell? You can pick people up and just kind of drop off in there, and, you know, they can unlock the door in the morning and leave. Would that make life easier at all?
Well,
I'm kind of semi-serious about this. I mean, instead of having to transport them, you know what's going to happen. Hey, we're just going to put you in safekeeping tonight.
I think one of the biggest issues with those type of, you know, because a lot of people have asked, why doesn't Anderson open their own jail or the things like that, is it's the funding comes from the state to the county. And so for that funding for jails, and that is the Constitution, it is the sheriff's responsibility to fund and staff a jail.
So I'm just talking about like a little prefab.
Like a holding cell there?
Like a little prefab there that they can go into and sleep off. And, hey, you're really too drunk to, you know, I don't want to take you down there. It's not worth my time. Boom. Just stay in there. Of course, then you're on the hook for them.
Then you have to have the staff to sit there.
And feed them.
And all the medical
services. You could have a library.
You could have a bake sale. Okay, that would pay for it in Anderson.
Get the government involved.
Just the thought. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. You're not off the hook yet. Oh, yeah. We got more. In fact, the chief gave us questions to ask you.
He's been
trying to figure it out. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. And the reason I mention that is I really like Jason Miller and Lucky Miller's and the battle he's having. He's leading the battle down in Cypress Square to try to protect the businesses down there. And right now, it's... I think he's fought them to a standstill, but it's not getting any better. But Cypress Square Barbershop, it can't get any better. I've never had a bad haircut there. It's the only place I've ever gone since I moved to Reading. They work by appointments. You can give them a call at 530-244-9478. It's locally owned, locally operated, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. And though they work on appointments, if you've got a hole in your schedule, you can go down there. If they've got an opening, they'll just get you right in there. Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. We'll be right back.
Bay's Harvest in the Gardens is Saturday, October 7th, featuring a hay maze, animals, live music, a mini farmer's market, pumpkin painting, and more. Harvest in the Gardens, Saturday, October 7th. Tickets and info at turtlebay.org.
Walk the plank down to Wind River Resort and Casino for our Halloween bash on Saturday, October 28th.
Yo ho ho, and a mic that blows. Too Short is the captain, everyone knows.
Grab your mates and join American rapper and record producer Too Short for a wicked good time on the dance floor.
Dress in your best costume and let the stars guide you to your pirate booty.
Tickets for this event start at $45 plus fees. Must be 21 to attend.
For tickets, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Shasta County Gun Owners, a chapter of the California Rifle and Pistol Association, is having a dinner and auction fundraiser Thursday, November 9th at 6 p.m. at the Anderson VFW. Great prizes including lots of firearms, food by Rockin' Pea Barbecue. Each dinner ticket gets you a chance to win a Sundance Spa package worth $10,000. Get tickets in Redding at Jones Fort or Rejuvenate Pools and Spa. To donate or volunteer, call 962-5168. That's 962-5168.
Turtle Bay's 17th annual fall plant sale is taking place Saturday, October 7th, featuring California natives and drought-tolerant plants propagated on-site for our region. Turtle Bay's fall plant sale, Saturday, October 7th. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and if you go to our website, you can hear today's show. If you missed part of it, just go to Free Fire Radio and hit the archives, and there we are. Hey, on Friday, the Shasta Marines and Friends Luncheon. It's the first Monday of each, or first Friday of each month, and it's held at Country Waffles. It starts at about 11:30, and it's open to all veterans. Come on in and chit-chat with each other and solve the world's problems. But it's a luncheon, and it's a happy luncheon and a lot of good conversation. It's open to all services, all ranks, and rates are invited. For more information, give Richard Marshawn a call at 530-524-5681. And Trisha and I are here with Chief John Pilecki of the Anderson Police Department and Captain Nate Ramirez, who is the captain of the department in charge of both divisions there. What's the hardest part of your job?
I think the hardest part of my job is trying to stay in touch with every moving part of the department. As you guys know, we are a very proactive department down there in Anderson. We are always rolling out new programs. We have very proactive patrol officers. So trying to keep up with what investigations we got going on, what our CSO is doing, what new programs the detectives want to roll out, trying to keep up with all of that and stay in tune with everything that we have going on, because we do have 25 sworn, and some might think that's a small department, and it is a little bit small, but what we are doing down there are big things. So trying to stay in tune with all of that is a lot to juggle.
Hey, Chief, forgetting the jail, not forgetting the jail, but just setting the jail aside, mm-hmm. What's your biggest problem down there? in Anderson?
Our biggest issue in Anderson is obviously fentanyl is a big issue in all of Shasta County.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think they just arrested a couple right here in Redding. Mm-hmm. Their kid had fentanyl overdose
in school. Yeah.
In school, and they were giving him Narcan. Yeah. Teachers have to know how to use Narcan.
Yeah.
Is that scary? Then he went back and found out they'd been smoking fentanyl.
Yeah.
Where the kid was, 8-year-old. Yeah. It is a huge problem.
And so fentanyl is obviously a huge problem to our community, not just our officers. But the biggest issue that I think we face in just in law enforcement in general today is keeping our officers motivated, right? Laws have been taken away. We can't keep people held accountable. We can't keep them in jail. And you're just constantly arresting the same person day in and day out, and it doesn't feel like your job's getting or you're being productive at your job when that's happening. And so it's difficult to make sure you keep their morale up and their motivation going. And just explaining to them that we still have a job to do, even though – and we can't worry about it. I used to be motivated by sending people to prison and knowing that they were, you know, this person was going to be off the streets for a long time because of this crime that they had committed. I had worked major crimes in Redding for a lot of years and got to see people go away for long periods of time. And knowing that person was going to be out of our community and our community be much safer without them. And now telling our officers that doesn't happen much anymore. We don't see that person go to prison very often anymore, and it's difficult. It's hard to keep them motivated.
What do you think, Kim? Same thing? You know, that's one of the questions we've always asked. I mean, you arrest the same guy 50 times if they're doing the same things, and then he's out again, as we talked about during the break. He's out before he can finish his paperwork. How do you keep the morale up?
Well, I think by providing good equipment to our officers is one way we keep the morale up. But by also, we have a lot of our officers that live within our city. And so we promote a family first atmosphere, and we try and promote that all the way through all of our ranks to tell them, you know, this guy might be getting out after your arrest in 4 hours or 5 hours. But remember, you're keeping this from, you know, your mom or your sister or somebody else having to walk through a store parking lot and have to deal with somebody that's under the influence that's going to be, could harass them on the way to the front door. So what you're doing is alleviating that. So with a lot of our officers living within the city, they take great pride in keeping our community clean, keeping our community safe, and continuing to take them to jail over and over until they're held accountable.
I think one of the other things that I like to see in our community in Anderson is because it is a small community. Mm-hmm. We're a big family. I always am thrilled when we do the breakfast at the Frontier Senior Center that we almost always have a table of blue. Mm-hmm. The patrol, whatever shifts on that day. That's so good for the community to see you people come in, sit down, have a breakfast with the community. And I think that's good for your officers because they certainly are appreciated. It's good breakfast besides that. But I think those are the kind of things that really make a difference in a community, that the people know that the police department is there and they're real people.
Absolutely.
They're part of the community.
Yeah, it's really important. That is one of the, I think, the things that has motivated me since I've been in Anderson is just the overall support of our community down there and the support of our city, our council, our administration, everything all the way through. They take great pride in the city and they support the police department and they support our officers, and our officers know that they feel that every day to come into work. I've worked in other communities that were not near as supportive, and I mean, I'm not referring to Redding because I thought Redding was a great, very supportive community also, but I've been in throughout my career seeing a lot of other agencies and communities that do not support their law enforcement
officers.
No,
and they're paying for it now.
And you see what happens to those communities.
Yeah. You know, we have a business down there that I want to point out too, because they're very instrumental in keeping that alive, is Joe Martinez from Vittles.
Mm-hmm.
You do your cheese breakfast there, every quarter?
Yeah, about once a quarter, yeah.
And so anybody can come, ask any questions they want to, do a presentation. The last time we had the fire chief and the police chief there, good turnout from the community.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's hosted every, and so our businesses are really involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a good vibe within the community.
Yeah.
You're starting to see businesses are starting to fight back mm-hmm. against this, people just coming in and just stealing from them. You know, my favorite is the two guys that the guy had threatened to kill him and all that, and they got him down and were beating him with a a mop handle, not in the head, but just on his legs and everything. And but are you starting to see more like that? That people say, "I've had it. I've had enough of this. I am not going to let him take my stuff."
Well, in Anderson, we probably don't see so much of that in Anderson because we are able to respond. Our council has given us the staff and the resources that we need to respond to these. And our response times are very quick there. I know you struggle in other agencies right now because of just understaffed or a big agency and they don't have enough police officers to get there. But we're able to get there in a fairly quick response time, and so they have a.
And you respond to things like somebody in my shop, they're stealing. Do you head for that one?
Yeah, we respond. Okay. We're an agency that really no call for service is too small for us to handle or go to, and we really pride ourselves, like I was talking about earlier, on our proactive police work. So our officers, they'll go and sit in a parking lot, let's say like the outlets in front of a Boot Barn, and do some of their paperwork. Just by their patrol car being there, we're deterring
the crime.
That's
very bright. Yeah. I'm sure other agencies do it, but just having the patrol car there takes those ones that may be wanting to go in there. Keep them from
absolutely
doing it.
It makes them think twice.
And customer service to us is, you don't think of police work as being a customer service type agency because you're not providing a something to them other than just a safety is what you're providing. But we go out there and we talk to everybody. We respond to every call. We at least communicate with them by phone instead of just, you know, logging it out and saying, oh, we drove by, there was nothing there, and log it out and not calling that person back. We're able to provide that service that is, just a step above, and that's because of what the citizens have passed down there, and that Measure A sales tax has really helped us with that.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guests are Chief John Paletsky, Chief of the Anderson Police Department, and Captain Nate Ramirez, who is the Captain of the Anderson Police Department, and we'll be right back.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote, paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 248th birthday, November 10th, at Wind River Event Center. All are invited to come and celebrate this special event that includes March on of Colors, the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, and honoring our oldest and youngest Marines present, and much more. Tickets are $35 and includes dinner and birthday cake and dancing. Tickets can be obtained through Eventbrite, Marine Corps 248th birthday. For more information, call 530-605-4565.
As a way to pay our respects and show gratitude to all the men and women who have served our country, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to invite you to join us for our Veterans Day special on Saturday, November 11th. Come in, relax, and let us serve you. Present your military ID and enjoy a free two-egg starter breakfast in Creekside and a free prime rib dinner in Seasons. For complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Get ready for great fall family fun at Turtle Bay's Oktoberfest, taking place Saturday, October 14th from 5 to 8 p.m., featuring local breweries, food, live music, animals, games, and more. Oktoberfest-themed costumes are encouraged. Each ticket includes your first beer or root beer for the kids. Presented by Liquor Barn and Sasquatch Car Wash. Oktoberfest at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 14th. Tickets and info at turtlebay.org.
Congratulations to all the volunteers and to the registered voters of District 1 in Shasta County. You took a stand against throwing away millions of your taxpayer dollars. Thousands of you signed the petition, and you put the recall of Supervisor Kevin Cry on the ballot. Soon we vote. Paid for by the Committee to Recall Kevin Cry.
Yeah. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, our last segment today. Tomorrow, Simpson University is going to join us, and they're talking about their at 7:30. But 8 o'clock, Congressman Doug LaMalfa is going to join us. And I cannot wait to hear the congressman's take about what's happened in the fiasco this week at the in Congress, and the House Speaker got deposed. Even though many people thought, well, you know, he was walking a thin line, and he just got. Trish is
not going to be there tomorrow to do it, but I'm just going to say, you know, he came in there 15 times before he could get the vote to be the Speaker. He made promises, and then he didn't keep them. And he was trying to make deals with Biden. He was trying to make deals with the Democrats, trying to make deals with the Republicans, and you can't make promises
but
and not stick to them.
The idea of being bipartisan, and this is the last thing I'll say. We'll save this till next week. You've got to be bipartisan. You've got to be bipartisan if you're going to try and reach out. I mean, we can't just be a total warring camps. Look what's happening.
Well, there you go. And the Democrats have been so unsuccessful in sticking together and have beaten the crap out of us for years.
Yeah,
it seems like to me if our rhinos would start acting like Republicans, we could stick together. We do control the House. He did make promises. He said he was going to get a budget. He said he was going to do the 12 continuing resolutions. He was going to do all that. That's how he got the speakership. He didn't do it, and he doesn't have it anymore.
GOP are famous for eating their young. Okay, and speaking of an agency that does not eat its young and is successful and does what it says it's going to do, we're here with the Henderson Police Department and Chief John Paletsky and Captain Nate Ramirez. What are we looking for? It's our last segment. What are we looking for in the future from Furry Anderson as far as police equipment? Are y'all going to go to the cameras?
Well, you know, you never know. I right now is not something that's on our radar. We haven't had, you know, really, we don't get a whole lot of complaints down there. Our officers are very professional, and there's cameras pretty much anywhere and everywhere you go anywhere anyways. So, but it's not something that I think at some point there'll be funding that comes down from the feds or the state, and it'll be a mandate, and then at that point we'll start looking at those things. You know, I'm not opposed to them like I used to be. I think that they've shown that that's actually benefited the police departments a lot more than people thought they were going to benefit the criminals or somebody else. And I think it's showing what the police are doing and how difficult their job is and how professional they are in some very difficult and
well, I think a lot of the complaints that people, you did this or she did this and this, and they said, well, we have this on video.
Mm-hmm.
And they dropped the complaint right there.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is we just don't get a whole lot of those kind of complaints in Anderson, and that's why the funding is it's very expensive to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have those kind of complaints coming in, so it's kind of hard to balance that funding. Is this worth it or not?
Now, you're tied into Shascom, and is there a central, for I call it a combat intel center or a tactical intel center.
Mm-hmm.
Everything kind of feeds through, and people are taking a look at that. Is there anything like that in – Shasta County.
You're talking like a real crime center or something along those lines.
Yeah, where they're keeping track of all the things coming in and they're marking it and they're passing that down. So you're doing preemptive.
Yeah,
not preemptive, but you're doing analysis and saying, you know, over the last 3 weeks, you've had this.
Yeah, if you go to our webpage, we have a crime mapping software that's on there, and then our system is able to track that information for us, and we have a statistician that can go through there and tell us, hey, you're having a lot of thefts in this area of Anderson, and over the last 3 months, this is where they're hitting, and this is what they're doing, or this is where a lot of assaults are occurring, and those types of things. Anderson's, you know, we're not extremely huge, but it gives us a little idea about what's going
on. This
would
be like a central one for Redding.
And each agency has that for them. Yeah, we don't have a central one for every agency has that, their own individual one. Mm-hmm. And then we communicate. We do a really good job of communicating our officers with one another, working together and collaborating with each of the agencies. We do a lot of, different operations together quite a bit. Our POP team and Redding's POP team or neighborhood police unit, they talk with each other quite a bit. They work with each other quite a bit, and we know the same crooks as they know, you know, because they kind of come back and forth between the two cities.
It's a good time to remind people that if you do have issues going on in your community, pick up the phone and let the police department know that.
Absolutely.
It doesn't necessarily need to be a 911 call. That's not the thing. But if you've got thefts going on, something happens, you may not get a response if it's a past crime, but the only way you can keep those statistics accurate is by calling the police department on a regular basis. They're not bothered by you calling and reporting things.
Yeah, and we talk about that constantly in Anderson. We had our chief, coffee with the chief. We do our business walks and things like that, and we want to know what's going on with those business communities, with those citizens when they're having issues in their neighborhoods. And if we don't know, you don't tell us, we don't know about it. And, you know, and so we have to know where we can focus our efforts at. If you're having an issue in your neighborhood, you need to let us know. And like I said, we'll respond, we'll come out there, and we'll make that a priority for you.
Well, I would imagine, too, if you tell them what you've lost, because you all gather probably just an inordinate amount of stuff when you arrest people, and if you've reported that, hey, I lost two chainsaws, and one of the high schools just lost 18 welding units.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Just lost 18 welding units in one of our local schools around here. Well, they may pick up somebody.
Yeah.
And guess what? We've got 5 welding units in here, but they didn't know that the school had lost them.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to get them back. So if you've lost something like that, let the police know, because they may have picked up somebody that night that's got your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we recover a lot of equipment like that.
Yeah.
Those welding things.
Yeah, so final thoughts. What's going on? We, you know, one of the things, we've got lots of stuff coming up within the city that we work coordinatively between the police department and the fire department, not the least of which is Christmas in Anderson,
mm-hmm.
which is, gosh, right around the corner. Anytime you start talking October, we've got Halloween.
Yeah.
I think there's a
Yeah, so we just started Think Pink the month this week. We had a kickoff yesterday with all the allied agencies around, and so you'll see officers with pink patches and our pink ribbon on our vehicles and things like that. And then you can respond to the different agencies and collect those pink patches if you're into that. And that money provided or given from that or taken from that will be given back to the Think Pink organization. And then we do have Trunk or Treat coming up on October 28th. It's down there at the Anderson River Park. It's from 3 to 8. The first 2 hours of that are going to be for kids with special needs who are sensory sensitive. And so that'll be something that's new this year that we're going to offer to families that have kids that have some special needs, maybe autistic and things like that, who aren't going to have a lot of the other noises and distractions there for them. And then the last 2 hours of that will be the trunk or treat, what we've done in the past. This just normal, the standard trunk or treat that we've done.
A safe place for your kids to do Halloween.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's a great event. It's extremely, a lot of people and extremely well attended there. And then after that, we have Christmas in Anderson, which is the Sunday right after Thanksgiving. And that is a great event. There'll be some teasers coming out on that soon, and you'll start seeing that. And we have a new...
It is really the beginning of the Christmas season in Shasta County.
Absolutely,
historically,
yeah.
The Sunday after Thanksgiving, and it's just getting bigger and better every year.
Yeah,
there
and we have
a
new community...
You can't advertise, you can't put things out until after Thanksgiving for Christmas.
Yeah.
That will never happen since we're already celebrating the 4th of July for next year. So, hey, Chief, we really appreciate you being in. And Captain, for the work you do down in Anderson. And, you know, one of the things when you said is we live in the community, and you hear that from all of our police organizations, law enforcement organizations. The big thing is they live in the community, and they want to keep their community safe. So it's not like Highway Patrol that literally is, in many cases, is commuting 200 miles to get to their job. So around here, it's something happens. It's maybe even people you know real well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have a real vested interest in our community.
Okay. Well, thanks.
So final thoughts.
Yep.
I wanted to make sure that everybody knows about those events because we want to see people down there. We want the people to come down and enjoy our park. Anderson River Park is a amazing park. It reminds me of every time I go through there, it reminds me of being a kid and growing up because it's like a park should be and a park used to be. And so come down and enjoy our parks, be there and enjoy our community. Anderson is on the cusp of, I truly believe, growing and becoming a good community to probably live in and move down there and be a part of our community of what we have going on there. And we just encourage people to come and take a look down there. They'll be safe. They'll see us, wave to us, and say hi.
You know, the Anderson River Park is a beautiful story because that, you're right, that park was developed with the community in mind and as part of the community. Most of the fields and stuff were built with the Youth Soccer League, the Anderson Little League. The groups got together, put the money in. The city has a fund where they would loan the different organizations money to put in the soccer fields, to put in the baseball fields, and then we'd pay it back to the concessions. That park was created. It's not so many signs, not so many don'ts,
right.
Not so much concrete
yes.
to where it's still a community-friendly park. Just wrapped up the concert series.
The second series too.
That just wrapped up last night. The final concert of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So much going on in that little city down there. We like to think
we're and the just, splash pad too down one, there. Yeah, during the summer.
Yeah, lots going on in Anderson. Thanks you guys for coming in today. I really enjoy spotlighting Anderson. Not everybody lives in Redding. I've got big county here.
Mm-hmm.
And this station. Really reaches out to all of the county, and we like to highlight some of the other things going on.
Well, thank you for
having us. Well, we're proud of this county, and it's –